Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, you don't know I'm going to ask this question. You have no idea what I'm going to say.
I never do. I never do.
I'm going to answer it for me while you think about the answer because I'm going to take you off guard.
Okay.
I was thinking about this all weekend. We texted around this topic over the last week, and it's this. When is the last time you feel like you took a big risk in your life?
Ooh.
When was the last time you feel like you took a big risk in your life? While you think about it, I'm going to tell you ours. So, you know, Daryl had open heart surgery, which, you know, that's not like getting your tonsils out. Even though getting your tonsils out is serious, it's different than open heart surgery. And when that was happening, we were phasing out and selling our portion of Miller Trim Carpentry.
Right.
That was a big risk for us. It felt scary. It felt kind of like unknown, and it felt like this is what he's worked his whole craftsmanship career has been with the idea or with the hope that he would own his own business. And, you know, and for 5 years he did that. We had a partner and it was just time. It was just time for us to, and we knew we weren't going to be in that business indefinitely. Right. I thought, and I think Daryl thought too, that he might be 60 when that happens, but you know, you can't plan open heart surgery you don't know what's going to happen. And we're 56 and it was risky. It was a risk to sell. And also, you know, when you take a risk that involves your job, it also involves your finances.
Sure.
So it even feels even riskier.
Sure.
And sometimes, not all the time, but I would say more often than not, when things are clicking into place and you're willing to take the risk, you find that things end up better than you could have imagined.
Sure.
And it has been so lovely. Yeah. The way that Daryl's working is lovely. Last week he worked 4 days and was off on Friday. You know, it's been a lovely shift. Even though it was a risk worth taking.
Sure.
But you don't know that often when you're taking the risk.
Yeah.
So when is it for you?
Ooh, that's a hard one for me. I am not a big risk taker.
No, I know you're not.
I don't love that feeling. Mm-hmm. It just brings up a little anxiety.
Yeah, I thought I could guess it.
Mine would probably have been, and it's not recent, but it would have been when I left the church.
Yes.
The biggest risk I felt like I took.
Yes.
Because that was scary.
Yeah.
It's similar in that, you know, you walk away from a job. Mm-hmm. I literally didn't have anything lined up because I went back to school for education. Mm-hmm. And that was really scary. That
and
was
you
the
walked
biggest
away
risk.
From something that you thought you would do for your
forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally thought I would be there forever. Mm-hmm. I did. I loved it there.
Or even pastoring forever.
Sure. Sure. And who knows?
Well,
those things come around.
Yes. And also, pastor is not just defined in a church building.
Sure.
You know, I think in many ways you pastor in your, now you don't pastor in the traditional sense of the word.
Sure. Sure.
But you,
it's caring for people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's caring about people that
I
you
was,
were.
I was there when you navigated that whole thing, you and Mallory. And one thing I loved about it, which is very different from me, is that you all had a plan.
We had a plan.
You didn't just march in.
We didn't tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of kept our head down and had our plan.
Yep. You had a plan.
Yep.
And you knew what you were going to do. And you just kept it. You pretty much kept it confidential.
Listen, that whole story, this could be a whole episode all by itself.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, my therapist maybe about a year ago was like, I want you to tell me the church story. We've never really went through the whole thing.
She also listens to the podcast.
Yeah. We went through the whole thing and it was good to revisit it and kind of look at it with fresh eyes, but like more mature eyes.
How many years ago was that that you left the church?
About 10.
I can't believe it.
About 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think risk taking, there's different elements of risk taking.
Sure.
When you take a risk to go into a completely different career, wow, what a risk.
Sure.
You know, because you tell yourself, what if I'm going to hate it?
Sure.
But then you have to say, what if you're going to love it?
What if you love it? Yeah. Right. And there, you know what's so cool? Well, we should talk about this someday. I could talk about this for a while.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Talk about
it. I was just going
to
say
now,
there's...
We need to change gears. We're in charge here.
There are so many unexpected cool things that have happened in the last 10 years that I could have never dreamt. That would have never happened if I didn't make that choice.
Right,
so I think
Well, one of them would be, I would say it's safe to say moving to Worcester.
Totally.
You
know, totally.
You moved to Worcester because where you worked, the church you worked at was really at least 45 minutes from where you live now.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have lived here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things that have come from it too.
Yeah.
But I really think, cause here's what I was thinking. I was thinking you take risks every day, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the big ones that we're talking about, but there's those risks of like talking to someone that you don't know very well. And then years later, you're like, remember when I just marched up to you and said, I like your shirt.
Right.
You know, in a marriage when you're maybe grouchy with your spouse, I don't know if you ever feel like this, but sometimes it feels like risky to make the first move to be like, oh, you need to figure this out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, having another baby, you know, there are so many times in our lives that we take risks and the gravity of them feels different to every person.
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's true. Yeah.
Ooh, that's not our topic, but it could have been.
Could have been. We can circle back around one day to that.
Hey, tell me your good day.
Well, my good day, Matt, was recently I had what we called a deck open house.
Yeah.
It was at the farmhouse. You came, you dropped in, and we had some lovely people there that were in my Instagram community, also people who listened to the podcast, and it was just a fun evening, and it reminded me of several things.
Yeah.
It reminded me how important it is to love people. And to host people, and to if you have the tendency to self-focus and think about what you're going through and why you're going through what you're going through,
sure,
and how hard your life is, I have learned this over and over again in my life, is to turn your focus outward.
Yeah.
And to other people, because there are people that need their story heard. There are people that need connection. There are people that need your warm embrace, your encouraging thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. It was a fun evening.
There are some shout outs that I think we need to do. For me, my highlight was my coworkers that showed up.
I know.
Jan and Kendra. They were there on the deck when I wheeled around the corner.
I loved
and
that.
They're so kind and so sweet. And they listen to the podcast.
And one of them lives near me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then also the boy that grew up in that house was there.
His name's Bren.
Which is wonderful.
I that squeezed my heart so much.
Yeah. How did he figure out about the open house?
Well, he follows me on Instagram, and I know his sister follows me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he came with his fiance, and he said, would you mind if we looked around? I said, oh, I want to give you a tour. I want you to look around.
Yeah.
I want you to see your old bedroom. When he went to go into our bedroom, he said, are these the original doorknobs to these doors? And I said, yes.
Daryl
like tightened them and kind of fixed them. And it was just so sweet. And I told him, his mom's name was Mindy.
Mm.
And she passed away when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad went on to raise he and his sister in our little house. And I said to him, I said, you know, I think of your mom often. When I'm just puttering about this house, how much she loved it and the intention that she had when she was picking things out.
Yeah.
You know, when she, even down to the windows,
yeah,
the windows in our house are my favorite part of the house. I'm very big on light. Well, you know that.
Yeah.
You know, I like my light. And the windows in the house are just long and skinny, and there's lots of them. And, and then there's different shaped ones that are up high on the second floor that I love. And I just love that I can still feel her intention there.
Sure.
And
I love that.
And I told him, I said, you know, I hope that your mom would love everything we've done. Yeah. And he said, oh, my mom would be thrilled.
Yeah.
And it was just sweet. It was just, it was so sweet for him to come and, you know, shout out to Mount Hope Fence. I'm telling you.
I know they had their whole crew out there showing off the deck. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And Matt, the swag buckets.
I used the umbrella already.
Did you?
Yes. It's been raining. Listen, here's the other thing. We had a new friend from Dayton drive up.
Yes.
To hang out on the deck. Her and her husband came up and spent the night in Amish country and hung out with us.
So great.
Gave us the biggest squeeze.
Are you talking about Kathy?
Yes.
Yes.
Gave us the biggest squeeze. Yeah. And she was like, I've been a part of the podcast community forever.
From the beginning.
And it was just great to make some connections.
And then sweet lady Marie, she drove by herself and came up and stayed at the Miller Haas, which I absolutely love that.
And then we had some of our friends there, which was so great.
And then Kim King came, the lady with the black light that was,
discovering
my butter dish was uranium glass. Yeah.
Can you eat that?
What do you mean?
Can you eat butter under uranium glass?
Well, I do.
Okay.
I think you can.
Well, that's good. But yeah, it was just such a fun night and it was beautiful. So shout out to Mount Hope Fence for throwing a great party on your deck.
Yes, yes.
If they're listening, come on.
Oh, you said you wanted
I want to talk to them a little bit about, you know, I love your deck.
Yes.
I love your deck, but you're not raising babies anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you guys might have a little bit of a little nest egg. we're in the throes and we got inflation. We just hustling for health benefits and Walmart deliveries. And I said, you know, I would love a $30,000 looking deck for $10,000.
That is what you said.
And they said, we have great people that design great decks. So you never know what you can do.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, one thing I love about them is you can go in and you can look at everything they have, but you can also schedule a site visit. So you can have a site visit done if you wanted to screen in your deck, or you wanted to put new flooring on your deck or new railings. They could come and give you a site visit and kind of give you an estimate. And they're just great to work with.
And they go everywhere.
For sure, all over Ohio. Yeah. They were absolutely fabulous to work with. Yeah, I loved working with them. It was awesome.
Well, my good day was we had a friend of the podcast, Ellie Akey from Columbus, has friends in Worcester, and she reached out to me a while ago. And Ellie's been like one of those people from the beginning as well, who will like, here's what I love about our podcast community is people know us and people have really gotten to know us. And every now and then Ellie will pop in my DMs when she's at like the Goodwill and she sees something Disney and is like, you want this? I'll get this for you. I'll bring it to Worcester.
People do that with me, with swans.
Yes. I love it. And, so Ellie has some mutual friends here in Worcester. And so she planned a little party for us. And I didn't really realize till I got there that they lived right down the road from you.
They do.
And I said, Leanne, you need to just pop over. We're sitting on the back deck. And you came over and we just visited for
a
while.
Nice.
And, you know, it just is one of those reminders of she texted me maybe or DM'd me on Instagram maybe 6 weeks ago to get a date. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, like, everybody's busy, but make the date. Mm-hmm, set the date. Mm-hmm. Make it happen.
It's true, man.
Because if you don't reach out and set the date, time goes by.
It just goes. It flies. You know, they say that time is a thief.
Time is a thief, like a thief in the night, like a candle in the wind.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, well, today we're talking about keeping yourself together in the summer.
Yes. As a parent, for sure.
Similarly, in the summer, similar to what we talk about with setting dates and like having these grandiose plans of meeting people, I think summer is one of those seasons where, you know, it's a 10-week chunk usually. We have these really big, ambitious plans maybe for like travel.
Yes,
and,
you
know, we have time to do this and the kids are home to do that. And then
to get together with friends.
We'll see friends and we'll, you know, do all the things. And I think sometimes it can get away from us. Mm-hmm. And so this is all about having a little bit of intentionality in the summer to make sure that you are doing what you want to do and getting done what you want to get done.
You know, we talked about when we brainstormed this episode, we talked about it from a parent standpoint, but it's not just parents.
Sure.
It can be if you are all the single ladies, it can be wrapped around your family, your nieces, your nephews, getting together with friends. We have a great friend of the podcast, Mel. You know who I mean?
Yeah, Realtor Mel.
Yeah, Realtor Mel. Yeah. she has done some really great inspiring things lately. Like she's joined a euchre club, like yeah. where she gets together and plays cards with people that she doesn't know or that she's just met. And I think that kind of intentionality, it takes an extra step or two, but I do think it's worth it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Well, my portion of this is definitely going to be geared towards the season of life I'm in and the stage of life I'm in. And it's parenting kids in the summer. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. my wife and I both work in education, so we spend a lot more time with our kids in the summer mm-hmm. than normally. Mm-hmm. And maybe more than most people. If you are a stay-at-home parent, you're going to know what I mean. Or if you're a teacher or you have a job where you can take off time in the summer, you probably have a lot of time with your kids as well.
And even if you don't have the summer or you don't take off work in the summer, your parenting changes when your kids are at home and you're not, right? I mean,
Mallory and I, both of our parents worked in the summer, but the rhythm in the summer was just so different than the school year.
Very different, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kids know. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple things, and then I want to hear from you because you're in a different season talking about mm-hmm. adult kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a gen...
No, we're not talking about that. We don't need the label.
I'm a Gen Xer.
You are? Oh,
I'm a Gen Xer. From 1965 until 1980 are the Gen Xers. Yeah. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm an older Gen Xer. So we're going to talk a little bit about my season.
Sure, sure.
After yours.
So here's for us. Our friend Kayla Ward, she's a dear friend of ours in real life here in Worcester. And something she told us that her and her husband did is they created summer house rules that are different. And I thought that was a really good idea. Some of their house rules would be, you mean
different than the rest of the year?
Yeah like okay, chores okay. before technology. Yeah,
yes. Okay.
Those kind of things. Yeah. And I love the idea of having that intentionality of saying, hey, in the summer, we know it's a different rhythm. You know, we might want you to have more time reading. We might want more outside time. Whatever that looks like for your family, it might be great to lay out some of those expectations. For us, it's keeping some type of routine. So I'll tell you what it looks like in our house.
Okay.
In our house, kids are allowed downstairs after 6 in the morning. Our kids wake up still so early. Why do children wake up so early?
Listen, your children have always woke up so early. Like I don't know.
I don't have the answer
because
my children, if you are listening, sleep in.
That was never my children.
Luca, Fitzremy, if you are listening, sleep in. Just sleep in, okay? But they're allowed to come down and we do let them have some technology time right away in the morning. Now, that might not be for you, but that's okay. That's for us.
Okay.
And then they know how to get...
Do you sleep in a little bit past 6?
Yes. Oh, okay, Lord, yes. Okay, okay. And then they are able to get their own breakfast. You know, we have fruit, we have yogurt, we have cereal.
Listen, and Luca's getting older.
That's right.
Luca's getting older. He can get out that gallon of milk and help him get their cereal and all that stuff.
But I think the important part of that is adjusting your schedule, but still have somewhat of a routine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it is so mm-hmm, hard mm-hmm, on little mm-hmm. kids to not know what's happening. So if it's like, hey, we're going to have breakfast and then you get a snack and then we have lunch and then you get a snack. Because one of the things people don't tell you about children, they'll eat all day. They'll eat you out of house and home. They'll eat the sugar. They'll eat the vegetables. They'll eat the bread. They'll eat it all. Here's the next one is when you're home with your kids, still take care of yourself. I'll tell you what that looks like in our house.
Okay.
It's different when you're with your kids all the time, but this is what it looks like for Mallory is one way that Mallory still cares for herself is if she is cleaning something or she's cooking in the kitchen, she will listen to a podcast while she's doing it.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a small kindness to say, hey, I need a minute. I'm the parent. I need a little bit of separation. While I do this, I'm going to listen to something that I enjoy. So I love that. Here's the next one is encouraging your kids to play independently. A line you will hear in our house in the summer. I am not your cruise director. This is not a cruise ship. I am not your cruise director. So like you need to figure it out. We got outside. We got inside. Yeah. We got books. Yeah. We got puzzles.
You got a great backyard.
We do. It's fenced in. We got a playground. We have sports equipment because go sports. Like it's okay to tell your kids, I am not here to entertain you. I am not a 3-ring circus for you to just turn on and off. Mm-hmm. And so I think
you kind of are.
I'm really not though. You know. No, you know. You watched me at the baseball game with that kid from school. I'm like, don't look at my bag. Don't look at my bag. Don't look at my seeds. Don't look at my blow pops. No. Here's the other one is this might be spicy for some people, but I think you will hear my heart and intent is embracing screen time in a strategic way.
Yeah.
Here's what I mean about that is using screen time as a tool for your family and not a crutch. So what that means to me is using it as a tool in regards to maybe it's a reward.
Yeah.
Or having limits around it.
Or maybe, like you said, there's a time.
There's like, time limits on it. Yeah. Or mm-hmm. it's, hey, first mm-hmm. thing in the morning while I'm sleeping, or when mom or dad mm-hmm. wants to take mm-hmm. a shower, mm-hmm. I'd like a little bit of alone time. Mm-hmm. That's a time. So use it as a tool, not just setting your kids on technology just to rot their brain for hours on end. Right. That's not the intention.
We used to, I know you remember because you lived with us during the League of Legends era with our boys.
Sure.
Well, you know, wanting to play video games and, you know, they could sit there for 4 hours easily. What we started doing, because that's like a runaway train, because it's like, sure. I'm in the middle of a game. It feels like you're always hearing, I'm in the middle of a game.
Sure.
Is we used to say like, hey, you can play League of Legends, but at 3 o'clock, you need to be done.
It's over.
And then that way they could plan around how they wanted to play, how long they wanted to play.
Right.
And you weren't one thing, and I would say this for both of our boys, that they just, why we ended up coming up with a plan is because they could not stand when I stormed in the room and be like, okay, off, done. Mm-hmm. You're done playing mm-hmm. now. And mm-hmm. to be like, wait a minute, I'm right in the middle,
right.
you know, of
right,
a game. Right. So
that can be really hard.
Oh, that can be really hard. And sure. also a little unfair to them because sure. they work hard to get to certain levels or to,
sure.
you know, to get to a certain place in the game, and to go in and just say, you're done, we're cutting that off,
sure.
is also not being respectful to them.
Sure.
Now, obviously, you're in charge, you're the parent, but I do think it's nice if you give them a window.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is our spicy take on parenting is you and I are not, I'm the parent, do as I say, not as I do kind of people.
No.
We're definitely more talk to your kids, talk it out with them.
We communicate with our
kids for sure.
Even now, Matt, our boys are 30 and 25. And even now, if we've got something big, like Daryl selling his half of the partnership.
Sure.
You know, this last Christmas, not this past Christmas, the Christmas before, we call it family meeting. Mm-hmm. We all sat down and said, okay, we need to have a family meeting because we wanted their voice and their opinion
right.
and what they thought.
And family decisions. Yeah.
And family decisions, sure. even though they're not living at home. You know?
You didn't have to do that.
And we didn't have to do that, but it really did. It really did help.
Sure. Sure. I think at no matter what age your kids are, here's something else I think it's a good idea on the heels of the I'm not your cruise director discussion. I think it would be a great idea to talk to your kids. Hey, when we're not doing technology or when we're not doing we're out of the house at a park or, you know, mom's not entertaining you somewhere else, what are some things that we can do and what do we have? And if your kids can read, I think it's great to make a list. If your kids can't read, mm-hmm. get a piece of paper and draw a little picture. So you might draw a picture of puzzles, of art supplies, of books, things that your kids can do independently without you when they go, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, mm-hmm. we brainstormed a list and I want you to pick one
I'm
of these.
I'm bored
that.
Oh, no.
That.
We didn't say that in our house either.
That's like saying a naughty word.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this because I heard discussion of a Kindle the other night at the
cookout.
If you have a child who loves to read, who is just a very avid reader, what age do you think is good for the Kindle? What age was Luca? How old was Luca when he got his Kindle?
Luca was 8 when he got a Kindle.
And he's done great with it.
He's done great. And Fitz got his at Christmas when he was turning 8, okay, right before he turned 8. And what I love about the Kindle for our kids is it's hooked to our family Amazon account, and Mallory can push what she wants onto their Kindle with her library card.
Okay, that's awesome.
And so it's a really great resource for us. Our kids are voracious readers, so they're reading. We couldn't afford all the books that our kids can read.
Right, right.
And so it's a really, you know, I think you can get Kindles on some sales for like 50, 70 bucks, depending on the models.
It's been worth it for you.
It has been. I mean, that's five to seven books. Books are expensive. And so
they are,
there are some books that our kids want to purchase. in, and we will talk through like, oh, why is that special to you, blah blah blah, but for the most part, a lot of their reading happens on Kindle, and it's really great because you can load it up. It's not, it doesn't have, here's what I love about it too, it doesn't have access to Wi-Fi, so they can't open a browser and type www.blahblahblah.com. It's just whatever Mallory pushes to their Kindle.
Yeah,
they can
awesome.
Read.
Yeah, that's great.
And it works with text, and it works with graphic novels. So,
that's good.
Yeah, the Kindle's been really good to us. Here's the last thing. I actually have two. I lied. It's lean into your village of people. Here's what I love. You know, we talk about like setting up play dates, blah, blah, blah. It kind of gets a bad rap. But here's what happens. That's a good thing about it. If you are a parent who's alone and you are home alone with your kids, do a play date where the parents stay. Find a friend that you want to visit with.
Yeah, that's good.
Because here's what happens is the kids can entertain each other and you can actually have adult conversation. You know, for us, there are good friends of ours, Nate and Kayla and Eric and Emily, Skyline, Eric and his wife. We were together on Memorial Day. Our kids entertained each other. It was so good.
Yeah. And I saw Hibachi Eric was on the Hibachi.
Eric.
He was
at
making
it.
Fried rice.
I know. And
yeah,
so find the
that.
People
yeah,
that you're like,
that.
Hey, our kids like being together. The adults like being together.
That's good.
And set up a play date because you're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, that's good.
Here's the last one. I don't know
you
about
said
you.
That about the last
I know.
One, but keep going.
I know. I don't know about you, but in the summer, I feel like the chores get worse because we're just home.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
more dishes. There's yeah. more clothes.
There's more
dirty.
Garbage.
It's
there's
just
more
like
everything.
A, it's a lot.
It looked like you cleaned out your garage.
Yeah, that's none of your business. So don't look in my garage. Well, you look
I mean,
in your own garage.
You. I saw that Eric Heller cleaned out his garage
well,
right
well,
when school
for Eric.
When school let out, and yours looked like you might have been doing it too.
I didn't copy him.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
Okay. Here's what I have to say. Involve your kids in the work around
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, that's good.
I think mm-hmm. it's so tempting
oh
as a parent
oh.
to say, I'm just going to do it. I'm
no.
going to get it done.
Here's why you
but
don't.
But you start resenting it.
Well, not only that, Matt. Here's
but
why
you
don't.
You need
don't,
to teach
them. Yeah, here's why you don't do that. Because you don't want a 35-year-old husband saying,
I don't know well, how to load a dishwasher.
Yeah, take out the garbage yourself, woman. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
You want somebody that is a help. Mate,
totally.
That is helping
totally.
Their partner, whether woman or man.
Right.
You know, you want your children to know how.
Totally.
Like one thing I know is our boys know how. Now, do they do it all the time?
No.
No, not necessarily.
Do we all? Do we
but
all?
No,
we don't.
No, we don't. But they do it a lot of the time, and they're very, very, they're very aware, and they're very cognizant of chores and keep the house clean and.
Yeah.
Take the garbage out, all that
totally.
Stuff. Yeah. And the only way that doesn't happen overnight.
No.
The only way that happens is by doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially
have your kids clean up after
yes,
themselves,
yes.
involve them in chores.
Yeah, I love that.
Folding laundry. You know, it's probably won't be the way you want it, but that's okay. They did it. They're learning.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
So get them involved.
Okay. Now I have
tell me yours.
I have a couple, not as many as you, but I have a couple and mine are different because, and this could go for if you are an adult child. With parents and family,
sure.
or you are a parent to adults.
Yeah.
Is you, everybody's got their own schedule happening. If I'm
so
the,
busy.
If I'm the adult kid, I've got my own life and my own schedule
yeah.
going. If I'm the parents of those adult children, even if I'm retired, I've got my own schedule going.
Right,
I've
right.
got my own things happening.
Right.
And I think it's important to have some conversations at the beginning of summer about, hey, when can we get together? Like, well, for instance, I knew that Teddy and MG's schedules were really busy. They were taking trips. They were doing things. And I said, hey, can you look at your schedules right now while we're, because every now and then we'll FaceTime. I said, can we look at our schedules right now while we're on the phone? And can we plan a weekend for y'all to come home or us to come down there?
Right.
And so we did. And then as soon as we did, we let Joey and Emma know
right,
because we
right.
want them to be here too.
Sure.
You know, so I think it's important to have those conversations instead of just saying, hey, can you get together next week? And then when your adult kid says, no, I can't because X, Y, Z, you don't walk away offended
sure,
or hang up
sure.
the phone like, they never have time for me.
Oh.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Like, be respectful of one another's time, one
sure.
another's space, one another's schedules, and say, hey, could you look at your schedule and can we plan a time?
Right.
And, you know, and I think also what has helped me, and I shared this in my Instagram stories recently, is I think sometimes when your kids take partners, whether male or female, you can start doing this kind of subconscious tallying where like I feel we don't see them as much as the other parents or the other in-laws. I think it's natural for that to happen.
Sure.
I think what's important to navigate that in a healthy way is to put some things in place that help you. One, hey, when can we come down and do lunch? When can we come down and spend a Sunday afternoon? When can you come here? You know, you make the effort.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. But something that has helped me so much, Matt, and it's already helping me now at the beginning of summer because all the kids are so good at doing it, is send me pictures. If you send me pictures of what you're doing,
if they are
on a canoe trip with friends and they send me a couple pictures, that's all I need. I don't want to go on that canoe trip. I don't want to be there, but I would love to be thought of.
Sure.
And I would love to see them having fun or enjoying their time.
Right.
Same with the in-laws, just take some pictures. Let's show me what you're doing.
Right.
That's all I need to feel included
and
connected. I don't have to be there in person.
Sure.
And I don't need to be jealous. What I need to be is very, very happy that my children have great relationships with their in-laws and with their friends.
Totally.
So
you don't want the opposite. You really don't.
It's like turning the dial on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, people don't have radios anymore. Turning the dial on the Spotify is you just make a little adjustment in your thinking and you can turn what feels like insecurity or threatened 100%. Or jealous, you can turn that to look at how healthy our kids are.
Right.
Look at our kids spending time with all of their family and their cousins and their friends and the people that are important to them that are good influences and good voices.
And listen, I, this could be a podcast too. I lived in a family where some of the grandparents were very controlling of who the family was friends with. And it was like, and then making you feel like you couldn't have other friends or you could spend time with the family. And you don't want that.
Yeah. Right.
Because your children will resent you. And so I think giving them the freedom and the encouragement to develop relationships with other people and encourage, no matter, here's what I will say, no matter how different the family is that your kids may be marrying into, or how unusual it may be compared to the way they were raised, or the cultural differences, or the religious, whatever it is, I believe it is your position to encourage them to integrate and love that family because it's part of loving their spouse. Yes,
and let me just tell you something.
Ooh, that's a podcast. Yeah,
let me tell you something real quick. And I believe this with all my heart. The minute that we start making our children feel uncomfortable about spending time with their in-laws or spending time with good friends instead of us, like we make them feel guilty or bad or sad, you know, sad, whatever, is when we start cultivating them to keep things from us.
100%.
Like, oh, don't tell mom, don't tell dad. Don't share anything. Don't let them know. They'll be upset. You know, and I refuse. And I realize that the inner workings of family dynamics are so different for every family.
Sure.
Like I shared that saying on Instagram, which I absolutely hate. I hate that saying, a daughter is a daughter all of her life. A son is a son till he takes his wife.
I hate
that saying. And I had so many people come into my DMs saying, I love that you have that relationship with your boys. I love that you have that relationship with your future daughter-in-laws. But unfortunately, that is not my story. And then they would tell me what their story was. So I realize it doesn't happen for everyone. But let me just tell you, Matt, in the season you're in, those dynamics of good relationships and healthy approaches to all of this do not happen when your son or your daughter meets their mate. They happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in the season you're in, cultivating that kind of thought process, those kinds of relationship relationships now when they're this age.
Totally.
Where you talk about things, where you have dialogue, where you say...
Well, my kids don't see me speak ill of my in-laws. Similarly, my kids don't see my wife speak ill of my mother.
Right, right.
You know,
right,
that's just not right, a part of right, our family. Right, right. And I know there's going to be somebody that's like, we can't have a relationship. And like, you're preaching to the choir. We know there are sometimes, but so long as it depends on me mm-hmm. and it doesn't mm-hmm. impede on that's the good. Health of my marriage or my children, we will have good relationships yeah,
that's
with
right.
the people.
That's right. That's
people
right.
around us.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Those are my little things.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, we are.
No.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
No, we're not so glad. You're not going to thank yeah, yet because let's talk about food. Okay, listen, I want to talk about food. I'm going to make it fast. I'm going to say it this time. I know I said it last time, but I'm going to say the food again this time. That charcuterie board at the Deck Open House
yes.
was thebomb.com. Don't forget, now, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has some of the most incredible deli meats and cheeses out there.
Yes.
I mean, just incredible. And what I like to do for charcuterie is in the deli, ask them to slice it thin or thin medium and then roll the deli meat. Huh? I rolled beef pastrami. Actually, Mel did it.
Sweet Lebanon bologna.
Realtor Mel helped me and her friend Jess. It was so nice. Sweet Lebanon bologna, beef pastrami, and turkey. We rolled those up and put them on a small separate board next to the main charcuterie board.
Yeah.
I don't want my meat touching my grapes, all that stuff. Well, I did a little. I know you can, but I have a strategic plan with a charcuterie board. Also with the crackers. I put the crackers in a separate vessel. I don't want my crackers touch my cheese. They get soggy. Yeah,
and grape drippies.
Yeah, no,
we don't want
no,
that.
No, no. But everything on that board, every single thing was from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market.
Praise.
And it was all beautiful. Delicious. It was all beautiful. Shout out Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. We love you. We are going to come down this summer and we are going to do the ice cream challenge. We are. We're gonna bring Caitlin and
Ellie
and you and I, and we're gonna do the ice cream challenge. And I'm telling you, if you eat a 2-scoop, I'm gonna be so impressed if you can do it.
Get ready to have your britches knocked off. Hey, thanks so much for joining us in this conversation all about having a strategic and sane summer mm-hmm. because we all know summer gets crazy.
It does.
We got to think ahead a little bit.
Yes, we do.
So, hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.